Our Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs. I'd like to speak out of verses 6 to 10 of the 18th chapter of Proverbs. And I've entitled this message, Running to the Strong Tower. I want to end in that 10th verse. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth. They're always running. After the Lord's called them out of spiritual death, they're always running into it and is safe. But I want to deal with verses 6 to 9 and showing and setting forth the necessity of running to the strong tower. So I plan to end with that 10th verse, but I'm just going to touch on it. And Lord willing, next week I'm going to pick up right there in verse 10 and speak of He who is our strong tower. But This actually will be in two messages. This will be the first. Only in the Scriptures can we, do we, know and behold the truth. The truth concerning who God is, who God says He is. The truth concerning who the Lord Jesus Christ is, God in flesh, God incarnate right now. He who ascended into heaven. Remember the angel says, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into heaven?" This same Jesus that you see ascending into heaven shall ascend in like manner. The one that they saw, He is the manifestation of the triune God, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And thirdly, we know the truth about man. Only in the Scriptures would we ever know what fallen man has been brought to. In God's Word, we know the truth concerning creation. All things were made by Him and for Him. And without Him, not anything was made that was made. We know the truth of providence. This verse that we quote all the time out of Ephesians 1:11. He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Almighty God is doing that which is right according to purpose, His will. He worketh all things. And we know the truth about salvation. We know and we stand assured. Salvation's of the Lord. We know that. We know that salvation is not by man's will. We know that man's dead in trespasses and sins. We know that. Only in the Scriptures we behold the Lord Jesus Christ as God's mediator. How would we know that the Lord Jesus Christ ever liveth to make intercession for us, His people? How would we know that? How would we know of electing grace before the foundation of the world? Only in the Scriptures do we know the truth. We know this. God Almighty is God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. We know that. We know that there is no approaching God apart from Him. He is the way. Now we're going to consider for just a few minutes a man. A man. These scriptures, I was going over my notes this morning and I thought, you know, the scriptures are so pointed, truthful, concerning what a man is. Man. Scripture says just a groveling maggot. One born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. That's what Scripture says. One whose every imagination, man by nature, thinks, I think I'm all right. Kevin was telling me a minute ago about a guy he was talking to one day. And this fella told him, he said, I haven't sinned. Was it 5 years, Kevin? He said, I hadn't sinned in 5 years. 5 years. You that know him, you know better than that. Every imagination and thought of a man as he's born in Adam. And listen now. We still have this old man in us. Every imagination and thought of his heart is only evil. Continually. That's man. One, the scripture says, that does not understand, does not seek God, and does not do good. Only a believer will attest, say, I'm that guy. That's me. I'm it. And you know the list could go on and on and on. Psalm 8:4 says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? How truthful does the Spirit of God express the nature of fallen man? This is why when Lord willing, if the Lord allows us to go through this whole message, I'm telling you, when we get to verse 10, man, you that know him, you just, in your heart, I did. I think, oh, bless his holy name for verse 10. Because I'm telling you, the next few verses, I'll just be honest with you. They are straightforward. Verse 6. A fool, an unbeliever, one born in Adam. One that doesn't understand, one that doesn't seek God, one that doesn't have no interest. I'll not have that man to rule over me. A fool. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's lips. A rebel against God. One left in his own blood, born in Adam. The scripture says a fool's lips enter into contention. Only a fool would quarrel or dispute God. Only a fool would enter in to contention with God Almighty. Only a fool would look for a fight. That's what he's talking about. Enter into contention. Only a fool would stand before God and confess his own merit when the scripture says, every imagination is evil. It's going. You've heard this. How holy must a man be to enter into heaven? The holiness of God. The righteousness of God. He must be accepted in the Beloved. He must be as Christ is. His body. When the head enters in, the body enters in with him. Wherever I go, wherever this head goes, this body goes. Because we're one. Accepted only in Christ. A fool's lips provokes strife. And when strife is provoked, you write this down. The one that provoked it is the one that enters into contention. Who started it? Who started the alienation between God and man? Who started it? Man. Who started contention between man and man? Man. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth or summons strokes. His mouth invites the blows, the stripes that he's going to get. He's asking for it. That's what he's saying. He's asking for it. And stands in his own ignorance. And is going to contend with God and invite God's blows and strokes. You think right now, we all know those that we love. I've told you before, I've got in my family, I've got those that despise the gospel of God's grace and think that they have some merit before God. The scripture says their very lips enter into contention with God. I don't have to be what you say I have to be. I'll stand on my own merit. I'll answer for myself. Scripture says his mouth summons for the strokes of God. It's natural for the carnal man to enter into contention. That's natural. He does it. It's natural for the fool to enter into contention with God's people. It's natural to the fallen man, natural to the fool, to hate the gospel of God's grace. It's natural for the fallen fool to despise God's right to do as he will with his own. It's natural. It just comes naturally. But as tempting as it is to want to do something, say something, though the fool's mouth is deserving of stripes, pray that Almighty God give us a heart to wait on the Lord. Listen to this. Turn with me. Romans 12. Just put your finger right here where we are. Turn to Romans 12. I want to be truthful. I want to be truthful. But I can tell you this. Well, just read these scriptures and you'll know what I'm about to say. Romans 12, 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I cannot talk somebody, number one, out of their rebellion, and I cannot convince them of life. You can't do it. I don't want to argue. I don't want to argue. I mean, times that I could argue, and times that I have argued. But I need to just settle down. The Lord Himself is going to deal with all rebellion. Suffice it to say, and this flies right in the face of man by nature, to tell him, you're contending with God. And what you believe concerning man's free will and man's right, your very lips, your mouth is calling for strokes. What you're confessing that you have the right to do and the will to do and the power to do is inviting, calling for judgment. Yes, a fool's mouth deserves strokes. I heard Brother Henry say one time, be as kind as you can to those that oppose you. And I know we all have people that do. I know you do. I know you have them in your family. I know you do. I do too. I know you do. Be as kind as you can. Because unless God Almighty calls them out of darkness, this is the best they're going to have. This is it. This is it. There was a rich man and Lazarus. Rich man fared sumptuously every day. Lazarus just scraped himself. Pieces of broken pottery. The dogs licked his sores. Both of them died. One man lifted up his eyes out of hell. Lazarus went into the bosom of Abraham. And the scripture says that this man lifted up his eyes out of hell and spoke to God. And said, Father Abraham, would you send Lazarus? And all I'm asking is that he just stick his finger in water one time, just touch my tongue. One time. No. Would you have Lazarus, can you send him back from the dead and go to, I got some brothers. And I don't want him to come to this place. No. Be as kind as you can. Verse 7 says, a fool's mouth is his destruction. And his lips are the snare of his soul. These scriptures set forth the evidence of Almighty God being just in the condemning of the fool. God is just. A fool is in contention with God, and his mouth is going to reveal it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A fool's mouth is going to prove to be the justification of his destruction. What a man says, every idle word, every vain, useless word, men are going to give account for. Aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus Christ, you that believe, has paid the debt of every useless, vain, idle word that came out of your mouth, my mouth? Can you imagine having to give an account for every word that you said? Every thought that you thought. Not what you did. It's bad enough. But how about my attitude? Every attitude that I've had. Remember, God Almighty is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, he's going to reap. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, answer for me. I'm coming. I'm coming to that strong tower that the righteous runneth to. There was a man named Shimei. You can turn over it. Found over in 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. There was a man named Shimei. Now this man, Shimei, was the fella when David came into town one day, and this fella, Shimei, started throwing rocks at David and cussing him. Listen to the count. 1 Kings 2, verse 36 to 46. The king sent and called for Shimei. I'm sorry. I'm getting just ahead of myself. Shimei had thrown the rocks at David, cussed David. And you remember one of David's strong men said, "You may go over there and take his head off for you." And David said, "No, the Lord sent him. The Lord said, curse David. You leave him alone." Well, years later, now, Solomon is raised up. David's son, Solomon. Now, that's what Shimei had done. David told him. He said, "No, just leave him alone. The Lord sent him." Years later, here's the account. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 36. "And the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, Build thee an house in Jerusalem and dwell there, and go not forth thence any thither. For it shall be that on the day thou goest out and passeth over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die. Thy blood shall be upon thine own head." Shimei said unto the king, "The saying is good. As my lord the king has said, so will thy servant do." And Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. It came to pass at the end of 3 years that two of the servants of Shimei ran away unto Achish, son of Maachah, king of Gath. And they told Shimei, saying, "Behold, thy servants be in Gath." Two servants ran away. Now, David told him, said, "You leave him alone. The Lord sent him to curse me. Throw rocks at me." Now, Solomon's son tells Shimei. Solomon's the king. He said, "Now, Shimei, I'm going to put you in this house, and you stay here. You get out of this city." And he said, "I'm going to kill you." Two of his servants ran away. Somebody came and told Shimei, said, "Your servants are over here." Verse 40, "And Shimei arose and saddled his ass and went to Gath, to Achish, to seek the servants. And Shimei went and brought his servants from Gath. And it was told Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and was come again. The king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, Did I not make thee to swear by the Lord and protested unto me, saying, No, for a certain on the day thou goest out and walkest abroad any thither, that thou shalt surely die? And thou saidest unto me, The word that I have heard is good. Why then hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I have charged thee with?" And the king said moreover to Shimei, "Thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to, that thou didst to David my father. Therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head, and King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever." So the king commanded Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him, and he died. And the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. Let me ask you this. Did Solomon give Shimei a warning? Yes. When Shimei disobeyed, did Solomon make good on his promise? Yes. I'll tell you this, there's one greater than Solomon here among us. And I'm telling you that a fool's mouth, back in Proverbs 18, verse 7, a fool's mouth. Shimei said, what you're saying is good. That's good. Solomon told him, he said, don't get out of this place. You get out of this place, I'm going to kill you. Shimei said, it's good. It's good. What you're saying is right. What you're saying is right. Shimei's mouth was the evidence, was the foundation of his own destruction. He agreed. A fool's lips enter into contention. His mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction. And his lips are the snare of his soul. The scripture says in verse 8, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of his belly. Talebearing was forbidden by God. Leviticus 19:16. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity. 1 Peter 4:8 says, charity, love, shall cover the multitude of sins. But a talebearer is one that acts out of pure selfishness to destroy the character of another. Talebearer. He wants to build himself up by tearing another down. Shall a man contend with God? Shall a man speak in such a way to attempt to lower God and have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof? People say, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for everybody. Now, he's got a form of godliness there. You know, he died on the cross. That part was true. But he denied the power thereof. Talebearer, tearing down another. Contending with God Almighty that said, I lay down my life for the sheep. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. A talebearer. One that contends to lift himself up and tear another down. The scripture says that the talebearer's words, their wounds, they go down into the innermost parts of his heart. These words there. They're cruel. And they're justified for their destruction. He also, verse 9, that is slothful in his work, is brother to him that is a great waster. The scripture deals with man doesn't work, doesn't eat. But this goes a lot deeper. A lot deeper. Not merely physical work. He that is slothful in his work. Let me ask you this. You remember the guy that came to the Lord and said, good master, what must I do to work the works of God? You remember what the Lord said to him? This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom God has sent. Abraham believed God. This is the work of God. The work that only God can wrought within a man's heart. Give him a new man. Give him a heart to believe. Give him a heart made willing. The scripture says, he that is slothful in his work. Not just the fool's work. In God's work. This is the work of God. That you believe. He that is slothful in his work is a brother to him that is a great waster. a waster of his very soul. What's a man going to give in exchange for his soul? A waster of his life that he threw away. You know why? Because he wanted to. His very lips justified Almighty God. He's a great waster. Now in closing, I'm just going to make a few practical statements here. Every man, every woman, normally speaking, I know some are born with physical frailties. I know this, but by and large, most people are born in this world with two ears. And they will not, by nature, hear the gospel. They're born with a mouth that is wasted on speaking and singing the praises unto God of all grace. Wasted. They're a waster. Wasting of the gifts that God has given him. Two eyes. Listen, you that know him not. Here's a Bible. A man or a woman that refuses, I will not read that, I will not believe it. You're a waster. Wasting that which Almighty God has given you. See the need of a new heart. You that hear the truth. And you waste God's time. You hear the truth. And you will not come. You're not promised another minute. By the grace of God, the believer is truly made aware of his need of a Savior. I'm going to touch on verse 10. Because I cannot leave without verse 10. We're going to end right here. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. A believer says, I know this in Adam. This is the way I am. I know I'm born. Back in verse 6, I'm born with lips that enters into contention with God. I know I am. You go back and read, Paul said this, you know, he said, before I was a blasphemer. I was a blasphemer. I persecuted those of the way. Thought he did God service. All of his self-righteousness, he said, was dung. A fool's lips enter into contention with God. And the very words of my mouth, as born in Adam, calleth for strokes. Thanks be unto God that the Lord Jesus Christ, who made himself of no reputation, laid down his life for this sinner right here. My very mouth, verse 7, would be my destruction. My very lips, the snares of my soul. I'm one that would lie on God, be a talebearer. Wounds go down into the very innermost parts of my being. I'm the one. I'm the man. Born in Adam, slothful in believing God. I was the great waster. And you that know him, you know you were too. But the name, the character, the goodness, the glory of the Lord, the glory of God is Christ. Set forth my strong tower. And by the grace of God, that he give me a heart to run to him. And run to him. Because you will know why. He's the only safety I've got. He is my stronghold. He is my haven of rest. I know what I am in myself. I know something of it. Who do men say that I am? Now some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're this prophet, that prophet. Who do you say I am? Lord, you're my strong tower. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And we don't have any other place to go. Lord, I must be found in you. Lord, save me. Save me for your name's sake. Lord, in all that you've purposed to do, I'm like the song, pass me not, O gentle Savior. I know you're going to call your sheep out. I know that. Lord, call me. While on others thou art calling, Lord, don't pass me by. Isn't it amazing that it takes a new heart to say that? It takes a new heart. You leave me to myself and I will argue with God. And I know it. I know it. And you that know Him know it too. You would too. And you wouldn't care. You would not care. Lord, have mercy on us for Christ's sake.